The anthem that Mary Beth just sang is really a spiritual, that slaves throughout the nation would sing on that night when some were prepared to run, keep your lamps trimmed and burning. But the genesis of the story of lamps trimmed and burning rises from the scripture you heard Heloise read, rises from that 25th chapter of Matthew with the story of the wise and the foolish bridesmaids. But beloved, what I know about the biblical text is one ought never go in and pick out a piece of scripture without understanding what's around it. For the Bible is not written in small sections. It is written to tell a story that stretches from the beginning of a chapter to the end, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. So in this text from the 25th chapter of Matthew, there's something going on. And when you can grab hold of it, then you understand even better the story of the bridesmaids. Starting in the middle of the 24th chapter of Matthew, all the way to the end of the 25th chapter, there's this section that is focused on readiness, service, and separation. Readiness, service, and separation. If you begin with the 24th chapter and the part you heard always read about, "Be ye also ready, for we know not when the Son of Man shall appear," the readiness is, do not dawdle. Know that the sky may open and he may come at any moment. And if you read more in the 24th chapter, you'll see that there is the story of the unknown day and hour when some are working and all of a sudden one is gone and one remains. It's where the notion of the rapture comes from, that there's going to come this moment. And the rapture is an understanding that is metaphor. But it's shown in that 24th chapter as a way of saying we don't know when the sun is going to come. So be about your work. That's your service. Be about what you're given to do. That's your service. But be ready, because we don't know. And if we're not ready, if we've not lived by God's guidance and with God's love, if we're not ready, if we've not lived in the space of hearts generous and acts of service, if we're not ready because we've not obeyed his word, then there's separation. In the 24th chapter, some are left. And if we skip the bridesmaids for a moment and we go to the next parable in the 25th chapter, it's the parable of the talents or the bags of gold. You know the story where a landowner gives 1 and 5 and 10 talents to different stewards and then goes away. Here's the service, that you work to invest your talent. Here's the readiness, that you don't know when the master is coming back, so you are ready. And here's the separation. The one who was given the one talent buried it and wouldn't work with it, buried it. And when the owner came back, he said, "Away from me." And then there's that amazing parable at the end of the 25th chapter of Matthew about the sheep and the goats. You know, Jesus says that he's going to gather all of creation and separate some as sheep and goats. And they ask, "Well, how will we know the difference?" And Jesus says, if you feed the hungry, if you clothe the naked, if you give a cup of water to somebody who's thirsty, if you visit those who are in prison, if you tend to the sick. And they say, "But Jesus, what? We don't understand." And he says, "Well, your service is when you do that to the least of these. You've done it for me." The preparedness is being ready to serve in that way. The service is serving, and the separation is, Jesus says to them at the end of the 25th chapter of Matthew, "If you don't do this, I will say, depart from me, I knew you not." So when we come to the parable of the wise and foolish bridesmaids, we have to understand how it's set in the context. It too is set to understand readiness, service, and preparation and separation. The bridegrooms, all of them are ready. If you read the text as Eloise did so eloquently, you hear they all had their lamps. They all were stationed where they belonged. I imagine they were in their finest dresses, because they've been chosen to wait for the bridegroom. They were in readiness, and their service was to wait for the bridegroom. Because in that day, an invitation was not extended that said, "Join us on August 7 at 7:30 the hour. Time did did not operate that way. Weddings were planned over weeks, and people would gather, and once they were mostly gathered, the bridegroom would make his way, and a herald would ride ahead of the bridegroom. And when the bridegroom was maybe hours away, the herald would ride ahead hard, announcing, "He comes this way, he comes this way." And then the bridesmaids would light their lamps, and they would extend the light on the path so that the bridegroom would see his way to come for this glorious day. Those bridesmaids were ready. But in the text, they're called foolish. Some wise, but some foolish. Why? They were all ready, they were all dressed, they were all positioned. But you heard the story. The bridegroom was delayed. He was delayed, and we don't know why. We don't know if weather stopped him. We don't know if the camel he was riding was injured. We don't know if the caravan of people who were following him couldn't keep up. Or we don't know if he was still haggling with the bride's family over the bride price. We don't know, but the text tells us he was delayed. And these bridesmaids who are ready, who are prepared, are waiting. But some, when they fall asleep, have their lamps burning, and when they hear the herald, "He comes this way, he comes this way," those who did not have extra oil under their skirts found themselves without. All of their preparation, Heloise, all of their preparation, but they weren't prepared enough. You see, they had prepared for their timetable, not a timetable of interruption. They had prepared at the least amount of preparation as opposed to the most. They had prepared for a day, not a delay. That's where and why they're called foolish. And so they talk to the other bridesmaids and try to bargain with them to get some oil, but the other bridesmaids say, "No, if I give you mine, then I will not have enough." They prepared for a day, not a delay. And so you heard the end of the story. The five go off to buy oil, but the ten get to go in prepared, ready, serving, and they'll separate. Because the five who come back late with their oil, door is shut. These texts from Matthew 24 to Matthew 25 are often taught under titles of judgment, often taught under titles of warning. And I see how theologians get there. And I see why you might orchestrate a sermon around judgment or warning or separation. But as I study these texts, something else rolls up. What does it mean to be prepared for a day and prepared for delay? What does it mean to us? And I thought about one of the most powerful pericopes, pieces of scripture in all of Matthew, in my mind. And that's the Beatitudes. And I went back and looked at the Beatitudes and thought, I can be prepared for the Beatitudes for a day easily. I can be peaceful, blessed are the peacemakers. I can be peaceful for a day easily, but let mayhem and craziness rise up week after week and day after day. I'm prepared for a day, not a delay. And that meek thing, I can play meek for a short space of time. But at some point, I know me. That absence of humanity and humility and a little bit of arrogance rises up and meek goes, I can play meek for a day. But if it's delayed and I need to be meek and humble in a long space of time, am I prepared for a day or a delay? And that merciful part, blessed are the merciful, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are they that are persecuted, I might manage that for a day. Maybe a day and a half. And I'm not alone. But I then would be foolish. Because if I don't prepare for a delay, I'm like the bridesmaids. Preparing for a day is not enough. The one who loves us teaches in this parable that we do not know when the Son of God is going to come. We do not know when the answer to our prayers is going to come. We do not know when the cessation for the pain that rises up in our hearts is going to arrive. We do not know. And if we're prepared for a day and not the delay, oh, beloved of God, and I look around at our world. I look around at our world and all I see are delays. I see delays in my leaders, those I voted for and those I did not. I see delay in my leaders behaving like leaders. Instead, they look like seventh graders who change the rules at will and who are willing to spend lives for truth even when the tapes tell otherwise. There seems to be a delay in honesty and truth. And I seem to be prepared for a day and not a delay. There's a delay in my world when I can watch the state I grew up in, Indiana, return to normalcy when their COVID rate is over 6%. And if you watched the news last night, my state, my home state that I love and that I'm proud of, has gone back to level 5 as if nothing is wrong. And maybe masks and maybe social distancing, there seems to be a delay in the wisdom that the science has brought forward, a delay in it sinking in. I'm prepared for a day, but not a delay. I look around me at the havoc and the violence in the street, and I just want to sing that Beatles song, Give Peace a Chance. There seems to be a delay in the wisdom that honors human life, and we can take it at a whim. I'm prepared for a day, maybe a few, but the delay of that kind of decency, heart to heart and human to human, breaks my heart. And I don't want to turn on the news. And I want to give up. I don't want to hear anymore about immigration and children, thousands of them, still separated from their parents. Where is the delay? When will it end? What's causing the delay? I don't understand it, and so it's easy for me to shut down. But remember, I started by saying this whole section of Scripture is about preparedness, is about readiness, is about service. I, as a Christian, we as Christians don't get to shut down. We must be prepared. We must be ready. Even when the delay seems to break our hearts and break our wills and break our backs, we cannot give up. No matter how long the days, no matter how many the days, we cannot give up in the face of delay, of joy, and of hope, and of wisdom, and of grace, and of kindness. We can't. But God, I'm tired. God, my soul is weary. God, you know me. I'm human and frail. And so, I'm reminded to turn back to the text. Because the bridesmaids that were called wise had a secret weapon. The bridesmaids who were called wise did not run out of oil. I don't know where they got their oil, but this is what I know, Bonnie, for you and for me, that when we are made weary by the delay, when we are made sad and grieving by the delay, when we can no longer stand the day because it's turned into delay, we too need oil. But the oil that we need is not purchased from a purveyor. The oil that we need, Tom, we don't need to find somebody open at midnight. The oil that we need is available to us 24/7 because I read in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth that you and I are temples of the Holy Spirit. And everywhere throughout God's sacred word, the Holy Spirit is represented by the symbol of oil. When David was anointed, it was anointed with oil as a sign of the Holy Spirit. When Aaron talks about how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to get together and the oil runs down his beard, it's this oil of unity that we
feel binding us together. In the letter of James, when someone is sick and they say, anoint them with oil, it's not the oil, it's the presence of the Spirit. You and I don't have to go and buy oil. We don't need to spend any money. We don't need to find a purveyor. All the oil that we need is given by our God. The Holy Spirit, our paraclete, our helper. The Holy Spirit, our advocate, the one who argues for us. The Holy Spirit, the deposit and the guarantee of God's presence in our lives. The Holy Spirit, the one who will bring everything to our remembrance. The Holy Spirit that will power us, dunamis. Dunamis, the same word that draws from dynamite. The Holy Spirit that will give us what we need. The Holy Spirit that will stand us in good stead. The Holy Spirit that will not leave us. I will not leave you comfortless, for I am sending one for you. The oil of the Holy Spirit is ours. And it's in your belly, and it's in mine. Because we are the vessel. We are the temple that holds the Spirit. God does know we're tired. God does know the delay of grace and mercy and beauty and love and hope and peace. God knows the delay of those things in our hearts, in our churches, in our cities, in our world, vexes and tires us. But God says, beloved, you are like my wise bridesmaids. I've got something that I'll fill you with. All you need to do is ask me for it, and it is yours, bubbling up in you to equip you for the delay, bubbling up in you to strengthen, bubbling up in you to make you wise, bubbling up in you to keep you when the night grows long, bubbling up in you to keep you when your body is weary, bubbling up in you to keep you when you no longer believe. The Holy Spirit said, I'll believe. I will interpret your prayer. I will be with you. I'll be your backbone. I'll be your strength. We have to be like the wise virgins, the wise bridesmaids. We can't run out of oil. Because just like the bridegroom did not want to show up in the night without somebody lighting his path, there's somebody waiting for you and me to keep our lamps trimmed and burning, that we, God's sons and daughters, that we, siblings of Christ, might light the path for someone else who feels the darkness has been too long, that we might keep our lamps trimmed and burning, and we might be the source of warmth and light and hope for someone else. This I believe about being prepared, that in my weakness, God makes me strong by the presence of the Spirit. This I believe about being prepared, that in the midst of the delay, I can still be wise, not by my own strength, but by what God pours into me. This I believe about being prepared, that it is the call on your life and on mine as Christians to be prepared in particularly dark times. This I believe, and this I pledge, that I will seek to be like the wise bridesmaids. That I will seek to let God's precious Holy Spirit fill me and flood me, especially when I'm weak. That I might, that we might stand strong, share light, keep our lamps trimmed and burning. For we do not know the day or the hour. We do not know when the Son of Man will appear. We do not know when the delay for whatever it is you are awaiting will be over. But we know this, that the one who created us, that the one who loves us, equips us for any and every delay. May it be in our hearts that this we pledge, that we will be prepared, that this we pledge, we will not give in to delays, that this we pledge, we will be like the wise bridesmaids. Beloved, may it be.